Paul, as we said before, he's leveling the playing field. Everybody behaves the same. The Gentiles he brings out behave the same by denying the Creator and worshiping created things. The Jew denies God in favor of self by exalting himself in the law. And each group, no matter which direction you come at it, you're falling short. You're screwing it up. And both are rooted in self. The big lie is self. And he just undoes that whole lie by, again, showing us how depraved we really are. And when we deny that, aren't we really puffing up self? Oh, I'm not so bad. All good dogs go to heaven. But he says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Hi, this is Holly, and welcome to Study with Friends. Each week at this time, we're here to study God's Word with you and with each other. We're a group of women who love God's Word and God's people. This week, I'm here with my friends Amy and Karen, and we're looking at Romans 1, verses 18 to 25, where Paul talks about how we exchange the truth about God for a lie. Today, you'll hear just one part of the time we spent together on this scripture, so visit studywithfriends.org to hear the whole conversation. At the bottom of the homepage, you'll see a search box. Enter the word exchanged to find the page with all the broadcasts in this series and also the discussion guide we used to help us unpack it together. We're having a great time learning from God and learning from each other. I hope you'll find something today that's helpful to you. Let's get started. We're talking about the truth about God himself. Of course, these things are tied together. You have to believe the truth about God before you can believe the truth that he tells you. But let's just sit in this for a minute, because we are talking about the response to God and the worship of God. And the dominoes that fall behind that are the justification and sanctification process. As you truly and rightly see God, you want him to do the work in you that he wants to do. But don't we sometimes rush to the work and the change instead of marinating on who he is? And it's one of the reasons he asks us to set us. He knows who we are and how we are. We get so busy, we're doing all our things, even our churchy things, even our sanctification things. In Bible study, I love my Bible study time. Right now, what I'm doing with you, I love this. But God says, one day a week, chill out. Sit down and just let you and I be. And let me show you who I am and just worship me. And it's not God being prideful. He's saying, let me show you who I am. And in response, you will have thanksgiving and praise. It's very easy for us to move away from worship into the busyness, even the good busyness of learning his word. And you think about, okay, so if you're a super mature Christian, and I'm going to put myself on the table again. The amount of time I'm a thinker. Love to think. I love to learn. So my favorite time to spend with God can be reading Strong's Concordance so I can understand what he meant in the original language. And I can spend 4 hours on one word looking it up in the Greek and all the different versions. I love that. That scratches an itch deep down in my soul. Okay, that's how I'm made. I have had to learn first to sit and worship him, to set all my thoughts to rest and set down my whatever my intellect is or my intelligence or my desire to learn, which are all good things, which he gave me, by the way. I don't get those things because I'm, you know, special. I didn't do them for myself. He gave them to me. Set those things aside and just sit and be in his presence and understand who he is in the small way that I can and worship him. I don't do that as much as I should. When I do it, I think to myself, why aren't I doing this more often? Because my most visceral experiences with God have been in worship. They haven't been in the study of the Greek word. I find him there. Don't get me wrong. But when I feel him wash over me, it's when I shut my own brain down and stop thinking and just be his child. Be his creation. Observe how gigantic he is in my life, in the people around me. Those are the experiences. Those are the goosebump moments. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm. And so let's talk about how we could exchange the truth about God for a lie. Tell me what your thoughts are.
Could I possibly talk a little bit about the lie?
Of course.
I just want to kind of, I think you did a wonderful discussion about, you know, the truths, the promises of God. But let's talk about the lie. What's the lie? What's Paul talking about here? What is the lie? What is he thinking about? And the commentaries and the scholars have told us that, well, Paul's got in mind Genesis 3:5, I believe it is. And that's when Adam and Eve thought they could think and be God. So isn't that the lie? That's the capital L lie. That's the lie we all want secretly in our hearts and souls. Don't we all want to be God per se? Don't we all want to be able to fix the problems, heal the nations, heal ourselves, heal our families, take care of everything? I mean, isn't that what we're doing?
Mm-hmm.
We're, the lie is that exaltation of ourselves.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So now we're talking about, it's perfectly in context. So we're saying the truth of God, who he is, and the lie. The ultimate lie is that we think we can be like him.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where we arrived. We've talked about who we are in light of God. We've talked about who God is. We've talked about where we went and where we're still spinning, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now we arrive, kaboom, what have we done?
Mm-hmm.
And so you can really sit on this idea of lie, capital L, for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is what Paul's trying to accomplish in the Roman church. In chapter 1, in chapter 2, leading to this epic verse in chapter 3, the righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So he's, as we said before, he's leveling the playing field. Everybody behaves the same. The Gentiles, he brings out, behave the same by denying the Creator and worshiping created things. The Jew denies God in favor of self by exalting himself in the law
and his religion.
Mm-hmm. And each group, no matter which direction you come at it, you're falling short. You're screwing it up. And both are rooted in self. The big lie is self. Mm-hmm. And he just undoes that whole lie in chapter 3 by, again, showing us how bereft we are, how, you know, depraved we really are. And when we deny that, aren't we really puffing up self? Oh, I'm not so bad, right? All good dogs go to heaven, right? Like, oh, I'm good. I try to be good. I do this. I do that. It's a self thing. But he says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I agree with you that these first three chapters are mapped onto Genesis 3. I think he does hearken that original sin to the sin that we continue to embrace. And he says, no matter who you are or how you think you're getting it right, you're not. As long as you're putting yourself before the Creator who made you in the first place. When you boil it down like that, it seems so silly. Like, I'm created by him, but somehow I'm equal to him. It's foolish, futile, if you will. Amy, what do you think about that?
I'm just in awe of you ladies.
Oh, stop it.
I'm in awe. And I'm, yeah. So something that Karen said, it's really about control. It's all about control. And the pride that we have that we can control things. You know, I want to be able to control my teenage boys and make them do, you know, what is right and what they should do. And, I have prayed this before, you know, I don't want to be in control. Just make me do what you want me to do. Don't give me that free will. Make me do it. I just want to do right. But
Yeah, that happens to me too. Mm. I mean, Karen, you're out of the teenage years for the most part with your kids, but maybe you can give us some practical wisdom on that. I think it's a common stumbling block, trying to exert some level of control over your kids' behavior. But for me, if I'm being honest, the truth of it comes back to self anyway in multiple ways. First of all, I worry about what that means for me. If they're making wrong choices, selfishly, I think, oh, that's a reflection on me. Then people are going to think I somehow failed. I worry about how it's going to reflect on them because I want them to be stainless and spotless and blameless. You know, like I want them to be great role models and perfect. You know, that's so stupid because who learns anything by being perfect? And I think about, yeah, gosh, Amy, you and I are kind of in the same phase in life and some similar things going on where you just think what you're doing is stupid and I know a less stupid thing for you to do, so why don't you just do what I'm telling you?
Yeah,
like what you're doing is flat out dumb. So, like, yeah. I can see that, child of mine.
Yes,
so how about you just do what I tell you and then it'll be better for you. And
yeah. And God's saying that to us.
Well, but what did I just say a few minutes ago? In my own testimony, what I had to walk through.
Yes.
We don't want our kids to have to walk through broken and broken glass places. We don't want that for them. And by protecting them from that or trying to protect or controlling them away from that, how do we rob them of their own depth of experience of God? And it's all self, right? Yeah. It's self because I think I know what's best, which is futile. It's foolish. I so don't know what's best. And in my and I know that. And yet I don't behave into that. Yeah, Aim.
Yeah.
No, you're right, girlfriend.
I was raised in the vein of my parents gave us enough rope to hang ourselves. And I will say they even let us jump off the stool. And you know, it's tough. And but they're always there to cut me down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and you can always go back to the experience of being a parent in your relationship with God. That's right. If you're fortunate to have that experience, not everyone does, but perhaps reflecting on your own childhood. But again, our earthly parents are our earthly parents. So let's not be too harsh on how we were raised or what our experiences were. But we always saw glimmers of how God must deal with us too, right? Mm-hmm. And the teenage years, that's why they're called the teenage years. I mean, I've lost a decent amount of my hair and I look a lot older. And at the end of the day, I will say for all the moms listening out there, again, Paul gives us the wisdom here that if we know the truth of God, if we always show the glory of who he is, if we always show who he is, and the kids they don't react to it now. It doesn't mean your words were ever lost. I'm a big believer in throwing a lot of seed. And that's what I do. I have bushels and bushels of seed. And where does that seed come from? It comes from my worship time. What Holly said, it's that sitting still and letting God say to me, Karen, be still and know that I am God. I am God. Gives me the seed. Throw the seed. I don't know what happens to it.
But it's not your responsibility to make it grow.
He's God.
It's his responsibility.
That's right. And so it all comes back to that. So just take heart. You stay where you're called. You know, whatever stage in life, whatever you're doing, just don't ignore that beauty of worship because it's a natural response to who he is. Yeah.
And the natural outcropping of worship is peace.
Yes.
And so when I'm in a chaotic time in my life, I think of worship as a luxury that I don't have time to do. I have to figure this out. I have to figure this out. I have to figure this out. My kid is struggling. Something's bad is happening. I have to figure it out. I have to find the answer in myself. I got to open my war chest. That was such a good analogy. And if I just... This happened to me last week. You know, I had a hard week last week. And last week, I just, you know, I had, It wasn't because I made a wise choice. I'm not going to lie to you. It was because I got to the bottom of my own reserves and I was empty. And sometimes, as stubborn as I am, that's how it has to go for me. I'm not wise enough to turn to him before I smack my head on the bottom of the pool. And I was driving down the street when I think about where I was. I must have been going to the grocery store when I think about the road that I was on. And just by habit, I had on the Christian station. There was a song playing. And I was talking to God and I was like, this is so messed up. What's happening in my life right now? And I'm not really appreciating this right now, God. You know, and I have to tell you guys the craziest thing. And I'm not a big one for like, oh, you didn't hear from the Lord if you didn't get a sign. But I'm also not I'm not one to miss it if he throws it in my face. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I don't say, oh, you can only hear from God. Don't say, God, give me a sign. I think that's, you know, God's not obligated to do what you tell mm-hmm. him to do the way you tell him to do it. Okay. So, but also don't miss it when he does. You know what I'm saying? So I'm driving down the road and I'm really kind of complaining because I got to tell you, I was like, God, I feel like I'm losing this battle and I'm a little annoyed with you because I know your word says the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. And I know you say the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And so I'm like basically throwing his promises at him and I'm mad about it. And I'm like, where are you right now? I don't feel like you're doing that. You're not fighting my battles for me. And I feel relegated to fighting them for myself and I'm losing. And as I'm talking about this and tuned out to whatever the song is, I don't even remember the song. I wish I could give credit where credit is due, but the truth is the credit is due to the Lord, not the singer of the song. The song was saying, was singing about trust. And then I literally drove past a yard sign that said in black and white, don't lose that. A giant just said the word trust. Like a political sign, except it just said the word trust. And I drove right past it and I was like, oh, okay. You know, what I felt like he was washing over me was, who are you to say how this should look? Who are you to say this isn't going the way it's supposed to go? I am God. Trust me. And I switched immediately from this worry and this fretting and this anger and this frustration. And frankly, as a petulant child, saying, you're not doing what you promised you would do. And he just spun it on its head and said, yeah, actually, I am, small-minded creature. You just don't have, you know, my eyes to see everything I'm up to. So why don't you just relax? Yeah. And not only did it flip my emotions, but it put me right into a worshipful place. And from that worship resulted peace. And I'm sure that I'll lose that peace when I grasp at self again, because I'm prone to do that. But in that moment, it was exactly as you're describing, that I was just like, I forgot who he was. Mm-hmm. I forgot what he was up to. I believed the lies instead of the truth about who he is and what he's doing all the time. Mm. And I believed the lies that I was telling myself about what was my responsibility to do or what my kids were doing wrong or how even I exchanged the truth about God for a lie because I was like, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. I was wagging my finger at the God of the universe. I'm ashamed to say, but let me be transparent because I don't think I'm the only one who's ever done that. Mm-mm. And it did produce a completely different response. Mm. And I'm not saying that it changed my circumstances because it didn't. But it changed my perspective on my circumstances. And it gave me the peace that he promises to trust in black and white. I'll tell you. And then I was like, I wonder if that's still up. I should drive down that
road.
It's
a land trust sign.
Is that what it is? But all I saw it say was trust, aim.
That's perfect. It's all you needed to
see.
And
I was just like, wow. Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Yeah.
This week's been particularly difficult in my life. And I thought I would share it only because we were talking now about our responses and how our responses can change and we might feel a peace and things. And, you know, sometimes you are revealed the glory of God, the love of God, but you're still sad and you're still, you know, your emotions are still sad. And that happened to me this week. my son was hit in the head down in Philadelphia. His jaw was broken in two places, blindsided. He was hit. And it resulted in a surgery Monday at University of Pennsylvania Hospital, which is a magnificent hospital. Mm. And his jaw is wired shut. And I don't know anybody else. I know a lot of people have had this surgery, and so you can relate to this. That's got to be one of the scariest things. And as a mother of a son, to syringe water into my son's mouth, when he could drink out of a straw on Thursday, I can't tell you how happy I was. Mm. So in any event, through it all, the reason why I bring it up is that, you know, I'm not going to sit here and try to justify away how this happened, why it happened, why it happened to him, why it happened to my family. But I'll tell you, in the midst of my sadness, my fear, I had a peace this week, and my son had that peace.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, I'm... you know, what's interesting is now you see there's a sameness, Amy. You know, maybe you think you're not as good with your words, but the truth is that it's the experience and the transparency of sharing that we're all, you know, I would never want any of us to mic up and pretend we have it all together, because we don't. And life throws messed up circumstances at us, and that's why we sit around this table, and that's why we talk to each other, and that's why we love on each other, and that's why we remind each other about who God is in the midst of our circumstances. Because how else, I don't understand how people who don't have the Lord survive. I really don't. The darkness and the emptiness of trying to find it in yourself, of trying to manufacture some purpose for these circumstances that just doesn't exist if you box God out of the equation. And so it's one of the reasons I deeply honor you. You've shared a lot of your story piece by piece in this ministry. I'm really grateful for that. But I know all the pieces, whether they were mic'd up or not. And I'm thankful for that. A truly godly woman is not a woman who has all the words like general revelation. A truly godly woman is someone who doesn't forget the truth about God, doesn't exchange the truth about God for a lie. And I was reflecting on the word exchange. I thought about, when you travel outside of the country and when we exchange our money. And if I went to the bank to exchange my money and they gave me, like, I don't know, Post-its, I wouldn't take that. I'd be like, that's a counterfeit. That's counterfeit. So this is what's happening in this passage. They exchange the truth about God, something valuable, like my money is valuable to me, for a counterfeit. Like taking a $1,000 bill and trading it for a Post-it. Exchanging something true for something that's counterfeit. Hi, it's Holly again. What an incredible gift we have to study together with you today. I'm so thankful for the ways that God's Word helps me know Him and to know myself better. I hope you felt that gift during your time with us today. We're a weekly Bible study just like you find at your local church. If you're not involved in a study like this, please find one. Please make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every situation. In Matthew 10, Jesus was sending his disciples out to preach the word, and he instructed them with this command, "Freely you have received, freely give." We think that applies to us here at Study With Friends also, so we've created many resources for you on our website, studywithfriends.org. If you missed any part of this program or you want to hear it again, you can visit us there and listen free and on demand. Or you can look for other Bible studies, all of which are free for you to use and print. studywithfriends.org. Just like those disciples who relied on the generosity of a host for food and shelter, we are also 100% donor supported. So if you are particularly blessed by one of the resources we work hard to provide, please consider a donation of any amount. A monthly partnership is especially helpful, and no amount is too small. We send quarterly gifts to our monthly partners to say thank you. Resources like a pocket Bible or a prayer book or a daily devotional. You can donate one time or become a monthly partner at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We also love to hear from you via email at info@studywithfriends.org. That's always a huge encouragement to us, so please don't hesitate to write if you have the inclination. See you next time we study with friends.